نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم، اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعليه ألف ألف مرة، اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم.
Alhamdulillah, this is the for us the first majlis, the first gathering after Asr in Ramadan, the majlis of dhikr for which we are all gathered. Alhamdulillah, morning and evening, Allah gives us the ability and we get together and we have the gathering. But this month of Ramadan is the month of rahmah, of mercies, of blessings, Allah's fadl, His grace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this month, lots of rewards Allah ta'ala has kept on every moment. So Allah has given us the ability that Allah has increased our gatherings of dhikr by one, and that this gathering after Asr, from Asr until Maghrib, we have established and initiated this gathering in Ramadan. So to gather in this assembly is a source of blessing, source of Allah's mercy, because whilst we do dhikr and remember Allah, we will arrive to Maghrib time, and that's a great time, the time of acceptance of your deeds. Allah Ta'ala, at that time, He listens to the du'as of His servant. So the objective here is to gather to remember Allah, because dhikr of Allah is such an act of worship, the remembrance of Allah. That is the ruh, it is the soul within every act of worship. If you take dhikr of Allah out of all your deeds, then that ibadah, it ends. Allah Ta'ala has stated many times over that salah is reliant on dhikr, and Quran is reliant on dhikr. Every action ibadah, even hajj, is reliant on dhikr. Everything, when you do an act of worship, the objective is to remember Allah. Sometimes through praying salah you remember Allah. Sometimes when you do hajj you remember Allah. Sometimes on sa'i, safa, marwa, you're remembering Allah. Sometimes doing tawaf around the Kaaba, you're remembering Allah. When you are slaughtering the animal, it is the remembrance of Allah. When you fast, that is also doing dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. So this is the ruh. Dhikrullah is the soul of all deeds. Just like the human being, he eats, he still has a soul. When he sleeps, he has a soul inside him. When he laughs, even then the soul is inside him. When he works in the dunya, even then his soul is inside him. When the soul is removed, then everything stops. Everything stops. Same way, ula ibadat, worship. If you take dhikrullah, remembrance Allah, out of all our deeds, then that ibadah finishes, it ends. So as long as you ibadah, your worship will be established and continue due to dhikr Allah, due to the remembrance of Allah. This very excellent point I'm sharing with you. If I say I pray salah, I don't need to do dhikr Allah. I read Quran every day, I don't need to do dhikr. We say this is not correct. So if you don't have the soul within your body, then physically your body is finished. So if the ruh of the deen, which is dhikr Allah, ends, it is the verses of the Quran that are telling us this. I'm not saying this. In the Quran, many verses over, Allah has said this, that do the dhikr of Allah, do the remembrance of Allah, do the remembrance of Allah. So such a great action indeed, ibadah Allah has given to us, dhikrullah, His remembrance. In the same way, our physical body, our limbs and organs, what do they? What does it run on? The ruh, the soul. And the ruh, the food of the ruh, the soul, is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. That's why stated in hadith, those who do dhikrullah, who remember Allah, that person is alive, and those who don't do dhikrullah, they are dead. These are the words of the hadith. Why? Because he's eating, drinking, moving, but that doesn't mean you're alive. The animals eat and drink. Yes, the goat eats and drinks, the wolves eat and drink, the dogs eat and drink, the cats eat and drink. The objective of life is not to eat and drink. The human being is a high level of creation. Our objective of life is the ruh, the soul within us should be alive, should be revived. Why? What's the reason? Because the ruh, the soul that's inside us, if it's alive, then we will live as human beings properly. If the ruh is refreshed, then we will get the strength as human beings. What strength will we get? Not physical strength, the spiritual strength for which Allah created us, for which reason we have come in this world. For the objective that Allah sent us on planet Earth, we are here. So for that purpose, we have to make our soul strong, our batin strong. We have to make it strong. We give strength to our physical body. For example, today, if we don't eat today, until the evening you'll feel weak, you'll get a headache, you'll feel imbalanced. Why? What's the reason? The body is the same. It's the same body. So what have we done different? Maybe you'll sleep 8 hours if you sleep. Even then you won't get enjoyment after waking up. Why? Because you'll feel different, in balance, without food and drink. Because you didn't give food and the sustenance, the vitality, the resources to your body through food, isn't it? So you'll feel weak. So everything you can do, if you have the stomach, a healthy stomach, a strong body, you can move your hands, your eyes, your organs, your limbs, the parts of it, but you need food for that strength, food. So now, as we say that I can't leave the sins, I can't practice the sunnah, I can't do good actions, there's nothing to debate about, there's nothing a matter of discussion, we don't need to argue about it, what's the problem? If you're not doing this action which Allah Ta'ala has advised us, that He's ordered us to do, then there must be a reason behind it. There must be a reason. If you don't feel like doing an action, you think it's not important, but it is important. Allah Ta'ala has given us a deed to do. You can't refuse it. You can't throw it back. There's some other reason, a root cause that's making you not doing it. If, for example, my body, if it's not doing an action that I should do with the body, then definitely there's some deficiency, weakness in the body. Doctor, please give me vitamins, medicine. There's something wrong. I'm lacking something. I'll complain. Same way, when our ruh, our soul, its objective, the ruh is not connected to the world. Our soul is not connected to planet Earth. It's not connected. It is, the ruh is part of the hereafter. Allah says it's related to amr. It's just for the time being, it's inside your body, your ruh. Allah's put it inside. Say subhanAllah. Understand this point. Very important point. The ruh has come from above, from heaven, and you are made of clay. Soil. This is Allah's karam, His generosity, that Allah says your connection remains with this world and the hereafter, because you have to return to Allah. And we are so stupid and foolish. We're made out of clay and soil, and we just want to make this body of clay and soil big, strong, eat, drink, job, career, money, salary. But where we have to return to the hereafter, we don't care about our soul. So what's happened is that we've given priority to our body. We eat and drink, we apple, banana, grapes, all the food that we eat in the world. And we're very worried about this physical body. I don't want that I get sick, yaar. Then, because what will happen if I get sick? If I get sick and I'm well, what will happen then? Then my job will stop. Then my business will stop. My salary will stop. My turnover will go down. Suddenly I'll get scared, I'll start shaking. And very difficultly will I think that my salah will be left, or I won't be able to pray in congregation. My first thought that will come, if I don't feel well, what will happen tomorrow? How will I go to work? Well, to meet my friend tomorrow, what will I do then? What will happen about this ABC? So what are we worried about? What's overwhelming us now? What is that really in our brains we're worried about? But the first thought that comes to a person's mind, he wants, it's overwhelming for us, the dunya. So the dunya is overwhelmed by so strongly because we are worried all about our physical body. And the physical body is related to this dunya, physically, because we're made out of clay and soil. So always eating, drinking, dunya, wife, children. And if we can't complete our tasks in the world, we're really upset and worried and we start crying. Why? Because we have just given full priority to the physical body. But the ruh, the soul that has to return to the hereafter, after a few days, some months, years, we're going to die. And that job that Allah gave to us and He sent us this world, we're not doing that job. Why is it not being done? Because that thing that has to give us the work, it is the soul. And the ruh, we're not giving the food to the soul. We're not feeding the soul with vitamins and strength. Rather what we do, if our ruh isn't working, we say, oh yeah, it doesn't matter, it's a minor yaar. Well, I don't have to follow the sunnah. Sunnah is not necessary. I'll delay it for some years, or I don't have to follow this action. Nafal is not necessary. Or praying jamaat, salah in jamaat, in the masjid is not necessary. Everything in the deen of Islam, we make an excuse that it's not necessary. And so many groups and sects and you can say offshoots of the deen have been created to prove this dalil that this is not necessary. Am I right or wrong today? In Islam. This is the reason we want to be safe from practicing. We don't want to practice. Rather, the deen is one. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Deen is simple. Islam is simple. Whatever the Prophet gives to you, take it. Whatever he tells you to leave, just leave that. That's Islam, or is it not? All of the deeds in Islam that we've been given, the Prophet ﷺ has given to us, take it. Whether it's in the form of sunnah, or it's nafil, whether it's wajib, whether it's salah, whether it's prayer, whether it's fasting, whether it's ibadah, worship. But the dalil proof connects us that the Prophet ﷺ gave it. Embrace that action. Embrace. If we get the proof, the record that the Prophet ﷺ has given us that deed, then after that Allah has given us another dalil proof that Allah has proven that the pure, his students, his murids, more than 100,000 noble sahaba, companions, Allah has given us a complete subject that if that action, the proof, if any one sahabi gave it, then consider that it's totally correct, that action. A sahabi can never practice a deed that the Prophet ﷺ never did. Say subhanAllah. Understand this point. Yeah? And where are we today? Look at us. So, such a long, mashallah, good lesson we've been given that if it's hard for you, if you can't reach, obviously, to the level of the prophets. So Allah said, I gave more than 124,000 sahaba. Companions, seek the proof and the guidance from them. Take, if you get an action that any sahabi, any companion did, that he implemented the action, then just grab hold of that deed that this is correct and this is sunnah. What do you think? What do you think? Those actions that we can't do, that means that action is necessary. We will be questioned. We will be grabbed if we lie. Why can't we do it? We're lying. Why can't we practice? Because our soul is weak and we're making excuses that we can't do this deed. But it's proven from 124,000. If any companion, no companion shaved his beard. Did they trim or cut their beards? Huh? And what do we say? It's not necessary. Is this the case or not? Yeah? So this is sunnah. The practice of the Prophet ﷺ. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, whatever he did is necessary for this reason. It's necessary because that action that the Prophet ﷺ did, it's necessary for this reason, for that purpose that we've come here, it fulfills that purpose. What's that? Our purpose is Allah's closeness, Allah's nearness, Allah's pleasure. And every sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ takes us to Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and nearness. Simple. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ لَفَتَّبِيُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you really, Allah says, if you want to be my beloveds and you want me to love you, Allah says, then Allah says, oh my Prophet, announce that any salah, hajj, fast, you don't need to do any of these actions. Rather, it's very easy method to get close to Allah and get His pleasure. That purpose I've sent you to the earth, Allah's pleasure. The best way to achieve that, Allah says, is that you imitate and follow my Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. And how should we follow him? Whatever he did, you do as well. Whatever he does, the more you do that, the more you'll draw nearer to the Allah. We say we don't want to do it. Allah says, don't do it then. And what will be the conclusion? You won't get the objective of life that Allah has given to us for this dunya, living in this world. That's it, we'll fail. We'll go to the raft and we'll find out. And Allah says, you didn't do the action. Do you understand what I'm saying? So our objective purpose of life is that the actions that we are not doing, and that action the Prophet ﷺ did, or his companions did, or the Tabi'in, or the Taba Tabi'in, the first three generations did. It's proven. There are three generations. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best generation is mine, and then and the Sahaba, then after that the Tabi'in, and after that the Taba Tabi'in, the first three generations. And after that is fitna, disorder. After that, don't follow anybody. Or Peer Sahib did this, or this person said this, or Hazrat Sahib said this, or Mufti Sahib said this, or this person said, no. If there's proof, if a Hazrat Sahib, Sheikh Sahib does something, then the proof should be the same according to the Sunnah proof. Sunnah proof. Now, your Peer Sahib, we will not listen to you. Hazrat Sahib, we will not listen to you. Mufti Sahib, we will not listen to you. Will you show us the proof that is any companion who did this? Show us. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. So this has been explained more and made more detail for us because we are jahil, illiterate. Allah knew that this fitna era will come, so Allah Ta'ala created four a'imma, the fuqaha, the mujtahidun, great people who were selected, and their work of the deen, their memory, their understanding, their hearts, their life, their Quran understanding, their taqwa, their fear of Allah was totally unique from us. Very high indeed. Their waking, their sleeping, their ibadah, their worship, their eating. They used to eat less. And they used to eat good and they used to live nicely like human beings like us. They weren't prophets. But Allah Ta'ala selected them unique. For which reason? So that the deen could be explained in more detail to us, that what did my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do and what did he do, Allah Ta'ala says. The whole Bukhari is this, Mu'tamar Malik is this, Tirmidhi is this, and Musnad Ahmad is this. All the kitabs of deen, all have the same objective. They tell us that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what actions did he do? And what did he tell us not to do? Am I right or wrong? Tell me. If you think I'm saying the right thing, then put your hands up so I can see who agrees. You agree what I'm saying? Okay, fine, put your hands down. So whatever action is proven and is coming from the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ said, do it. If we don't do that, that means we are monkeys and animals. We are at fault. We are rejecting ourselves. And then we say, oh, where's it written? Where's the proof? Where's the dalil? Oh, this is the point that this proves that that person is a fraudster and he is weak in his iman. In reality, why? Because he has not fed his ruh, his soul. He has rejected everything. We reject everything that comes from the Prophet ﷺ. So if we see it, you will see some people in the ummah that they give their life for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They love the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They're standing, sitting, walking, moving, eating, drinking, the whole lifestyle. People like that, their maqam, their lifestyle, their status is different. Their lifestyle is unique. Allah says their level is unique. Their rank is unique. They pray salah. They do hajj. And they have adopted and embraced that way of life, that whatever nearness will get by following the Prophet ﷺ, will get closer to Allah. And why would he then shave his beard? Why would he leave the blessed turban, that Muslim? Why would he do wrong deeds that are proven that the Prophet ﷺ or a companion proved it or a tabi proved it? Then what's there to argue about? And we're not talking about Mulana Sahib said do this and we're practicing, or Hazrat Sahib or Sheikh Sahib or Peer Sahib said and that's why we're practicing, or this person said do this. No. We're not practicing the deen for that reason. We're practicing the deen because Allah has given us His favor, Allah has opened our minds, and Allah said that do this action because your Prophet did this action. Yes, why do we go to the mashayikh, the walis of Allah, to worship them? No, do we go to listen to those? We don't believe in them. We don't worship them. Rather, why do we go to the company of a pious person? Because he boosts us, he gives us strength in iman. You've forgotten this lesson, follow this sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, it's necessary for you. Now, if he is weak, that person who advises you, then what will he get strength from? Then Allah gives him dhikr, and the teacher teaches dhikr to the student, and then that student does dhikr, and then his love for deen increases, and he starts to practice. What does he practice? He doesn't follow that shaykh, he doesn't follow the student, rather who's he imitating? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The shaykh, the objective of the teacher is this, that for example you're going on a journey and a person says to you, stop here. Why? Because please teach me the route, the way, so you can guide me, because I'm lost. When you go on a journey, so that person's guiding you. He's saying that turn right here, turn left here, go straight here, and he gets you to the destination. So the shaykh, the teacher, is the same thing. He's telling you the direction to get to Allah. And when we want to do an action, a deed, which is very important in our life, in the shape of the sunnah, fard, the wajib, but we're leaving those deeds according to our desires, we're worshipping our desires, our weakness of our soul, then at that time the shaykh, he will boost you, will say to you, he'll show you the right way, the right method, what to do. So what do we become it? Which shaykh am I going? I'm taking guidance. Though no, it's bidah, it's innovation, don't practice this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Think your minds, correct your minds. Either you are totally right and you have no need to go to a teacher because you're fully 100% practicing deen, you're praying salah 5 times jamaat, you save yourself from haram, totally 100% you're following the sunnah, that's fine, you don't need to go to a shaykh, a teacher, just practice yourself. If you are perfect, yes, then you have no need to go to a guide, to a teacher. But a person who has the nafs and desires and shaitan with him, somehow or other, somewhere or other, they will attack him. So when you'll have a good friend who will guide you, assist you, don't do this, you should do this, then this is the blessing of Allah in your life. In this dunya, this is a great blessing of Allah. Yes, He's given us a guidance. Allah Ta'ala has given us guidance to go right, go left, go straight, turn here, don't go there. Because we don't want to do anything. We don't want to practice the deen. Why? Because we are following our nafs. Our ruh, our soul is weak. We don't give the food to the soul. If our soul was strong, our ruh was strong, we'd understand straight away the meaning of the verse. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهِ Allah is announcing in Surah Al-Imran in the Quran that if you want my love, Allah says, then Allah says, don't keep prostrating to me. I don't need your salah, your hajj, your fasting. Allah says, I don't need these actions. Allah said about fasting, that apart from hunger and thirst in the evening, you'll get nothing apart from hunger and thirst. Nothing from your fasting. This is not the deen of Islam. This is your nafs that you're practicing. For no reason, you'll go to the grave. Then we will understand what Islam was in reality. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهِ Allah says in the Quran. Yes, if you really want Allah's love, if you want Allah to love you, Allah says, only one way you can attain Allah's love. What does Allah say? There's no other way, Allah says. What's that path? Allah says, one. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي You can't say, oh, I don't understand the hadith or some scholar. This is the verse of the Quran I'm reciting. Allah says, one method. What's that method? فَاتَّبِعُونِي That imitate and follow my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, if you want my love. And if you don't follow and imitate him, what's the reason for that? Because our ruh, our soul is weak. That's the reason we don't follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our soul is not working. If our soul is weak, then our body will not do the deen. And we say, give it food and samosas and lassi and rice and meat and it will get strong. Have we ever thought that I'm not practicing Islam, I'm leaving the actions, I'm doing haram actions, I'm lying, I'm doing fraud, I'm worried about the dunya, I'm greedy to get dunya, and I don't have no care about the sunnah, I don't pray salah in jamaat, sometimes I pray, sometimes I don't pray. So is that a Muslim? What kind of Muslim am I? What kind of human being am I? What sort of a human being am I? That not one part of my life is proven from a verse of the Quran. Not one part of my life is in accordance to the verses of the Quran. Is it or is it not? So what type of human being am I? So definitely for this I need strength. What strength do I need? That the thing that will enable me to practice, what is that? Say loudly. By now we should understand. Good. What is that? The ruh, the soul that's within us. Straight we understand I'm sick. And I'm well, I'm not practicing the actions of Islam. My ruh, my soul, I need to give it strength. And then automatically myself, I will know this is truth and this is false. That this person's talking rubbish and he's speaking the truth. Today we are in the media era, every man, woman speaks dars, dars. This woman's given a bayan. So many houses are destroyed where a woman is given dars and she gives the dars wrong. Following her nafs, following her aqidah, presenting her belief. She's given dars of the deen. Oh, many young women and children, daughters in the households, their lives are destroyed. Oh, this teacher gives dars. I listen to this dars. You don't need to follow. Do you get any teaching? Do you ever hear in a dars, in a talk, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهِ Is anyone explaining this verse of the Quran to you? The reason for this is, أَبَرُوا Our soul is weak. And then very quickly we embrace the wrong guidance. Will you get the wrong guidance? No one's telling you. The do parda, hijab, oh sister, that don't eat haram, and that don't leave the house, oh sister, unnecessarily, oh man, you should keep the beard and follow the sunnah of the Prophet. Your appearance, attire, dress code, lifestyle should follow the sunnah. Don't imitate those who are not believers, are not Muslims. If you're not hearing these things, oh, what a good talk I heard today. Oh, she, the teacher, said very many good things to me. I felt good, I felt nice, and you'll praise that person. Where you learn the real deen of Islam, oh, no, he's too strict, yeah, he's too much extremist. He's a fundamentalist. And what names and titles will give to that person? Oh, Yaar is too hard. He's spoiling people. He's spoiling the women. Making them extreme. He's too strict. Islam's not that strict. It's easy to practice Islam. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? It was not my intention to speak today. I didn't come to speak, but I just automatically started to speak today. Allah Ta'ala is giving my Islah, improving me and you. I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm not giving you a dars. It's not speech. Wallahi, I came today here to do dhikrullah. And just one point of what I'm saying now was not in my mind. No one word was in my mind before this gathering started that I'm going to discuss these points. But Allah Ta'ala knows that we have a need for this education. Ramadan has come, fasting has come. Our ruh, we are strengthening our soul. Yes. So, ruh. Why is our ruh, our soul getting strong? Tell me. How? How was our ruh, our soul got strong? That, for example, many of us have not even fasted in Ramadan. There are people who are sick and unwell, they're fasting. But these points are coming in our heart. They're coming in our heart, aren't they? That mashallah, we're accepting that we are wrong. That separate doing it or not doing it. Allah may give the tawfiq to everyone. We're all good Muslims. Praise Salah. But at least it's coming in my heart that I am wrong. I'm not practicing. Do you understand this point? So at least we accept that Allah, we have got mistakes in our lives. We shouldn't be like this. And this is a great thing, to even accept our mistakes. Allah, if He gives us the tawfiq, then He'll make us do good. But the person who doesn't even accept his mistakes, that he's wrong. So our ruh, our soul today, is listening, is understanding, is getting stronger. What's the reason for this? Shall I tell you what's the reason? That we have accepted one thing that Allah has told us today. That in the morning, don't eat food. Wake up in the morning. Don't drink water after that. Until I don't tell you, Allah says, you have to leave eating and drinking. And mashallah, save yourself from wrong. We have accepted and obeyed Allah's order. Our soul has got strong today by obeying Allah's order. Tell me now. So this is practice. Allah says, if all your life you obey Allah's orders, then how strong your ruh, your soul will become. It's a proof. Just by 8-9 hours today, we've not eaten or drank, and our ruh, our soul has gone strong because we've accepted Allah. Say subhanAllah. So if we follow Allah's orders, our soul will get, Allah, I should do this, Allah, I should do good, I should leave the wrong. And when will you get determination and more stronger? When you make your ruh, soul stronger. So alhamdulillah, Allah has told us a method that people are amazed that, mashallah, yaar, he's become a very good Muslim. How you've changed and improved. And what we should do is that we should make our ruh strong, our soul strong, so we can practice it. What's the tonic that we need to give to it? What's the remedy to make our soul strong? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a method to make the ruh strong, because our soul is connected to the hereafter. So you're not going to give it a banana, you're not going to give it dry fruit or any other foods. Allah says nothing. Allah says your ruh is connected to the hereafter, not this world. So when it's connected to the hereafter, then you must give it the fruits of the hereafter, your soul. Say subhanAllah. Yes. So give the fruits of the hereafter to your soul, to make your deen strong. Why are you giving it the food of this world? The body physically give food here, but give your soul the food of the hereafter. Oh Allah, but you have sent us to the world, planet earth. So what food of the hereafter can we give to our soul? We don't know the ruh. What milk does it drink? What apple does it eat? What fruit does it eat? Tell us Allah, what is the food? There's a beautiful hadith that's coming to my mind now. Hadith. That Allah tell us, what should we do? What action should we carry out? So we are feeding the soul so it can get stronger, so our deen can get stronger. Allah, this is a question mark. Allah says, that's a good question you're asking, O believer. Very good question your mind has thought. So Allah says, I'll tell you the answer for that. Allah says, I'll give you the guidance. Your ruh will eat it. You can give it fruit and grapes and you give it food and you'll learn that. Allah says, I'll tell you that. Allah, so the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you pass by the gardens of paradise, graze in them, eat from them. Allah Ta'ala says, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you human beings, when you pass through the gardens of paradise on earth, do you understand the point here? That the ruh, the soul, where will it get the food from? From the heavens, obviously. The heavens, from Jannah, from paradise. So, but we'll say, Allah, Jannah, we're on earth. Then when Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you walk past the gardens of paradise, then stop there, graze in them, eat in those gardens, and you can give a lot of food to your ruh, your soul, when you go into the gardens of paradise. Graze in that garden of paradise. And the ruh, the soul, won't eat the meat from the earth. So Allah, what do you mean by go to the garden of paradise where you get the fruits of the hereafter? What gardens are these that we should go to? What is that? What is that action? Oh, the Prophet ﷺ, please tell us, explain this to us. The Prophet ﷺ said, Halaka dhikrullah, the gardens of the dhikr of Allah, the gatherings of dhikrullah. Subhanallah walhamdulillah.
Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar.
So what is getting strong when you recite this? Put your hands up. What's getting strong when you recite this? Who enjoys that? Your ruh is enjoying that. Your soul, when you do dhikrullah, your ruh gets the enjoyment when you recite that, isn't it? Then, Allah's Nabi ﷺ said that dhikrullah is the food, and you get the food for the soul in the gardens of paradise. So not in the gardens in your back garden at home, in the fields of the world. The Prophet ﷺ said, go and sit in the gathering of dhikrullah, and that is the garden of paradise. So when a human being sits in the gathering of dhikrullah in an assembly, then his soul becomes fat and strong and healthy. It gets strength. Have I given you the sahih dalil or not? Tell me. Is that the right proof? Quran and hadith, understand it. Yeah, don't just follow your desires and what your opinions are and other people's. No, I don't feel like doing it. Then you'll stay in a monkey and an animal. Yeah? There's no guidance in your opinion, your desires. Abu Jahl, he followed his desires, opinions. Abu Jahl, did he believe in Islam? Yes. Did Abu Lahab believe in Islam? No. So may Allah not happen that we become summun bukmun umyum when the haq is coming to us, when the hadith is coming to us, when your heart is accepting, immediately practice the action. Immediately. If we're not practicing, there's a reason, because our ruh is soul. We need to give food to our ruh. Where do we get the food for the soul? In the company of the walis of Allah, in the dhikr of Allah, in the gathering of dhikrullah. In the gathering of dhikrullah. And if you understand what I'm saying, put your hands up. Totally straightforward, A to Z. Yes, jazakallah, put your hands down. Yeah, very straightforward equation, isn't it? The gathering of dhikrullah, that when Hazrat Sheikh, does he get tax from it? Does he get money from it? When the Sheikh leads the gathering of dhikr, does his business improve? Does his trade improve? No, Hazrat Sahib doesn't get anything. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us his grace and mercy that the friend of Allah is hosting the gathering of dhikrullah, teaching us dhikrullah, guiding us. So we should be grateful to Allah. Allah Ta'ala, such a place you've given to us, where you have given the food and sustenance to our ruh soul. Otherwise every morning, there's a girl here, there's a woman there, there's a bar here, there's a pub here, there's money here. All around us in the world there's distractions. All the way around us there's criminality. In the dunya, all day our children, daughters, sons are out in the dunya. But Allah's great mercy, that Allah Ta'ala has sent such a guide in the world, Allah creates an individual, that He calls the people, assembles them and says, come, let's do dhikrullah. Let's remember Allah. When they start doing dhikrullah, they wear the imamah, blessed imamah, the turban. They start to understand the sunnah. When they're sinning, then they start to get ashamed. And when they do the wrong, they are ashamed. I've made a mistake. When he does a bad action, a modest action, he gets ashamed. How am I doing this wrong action? Am I right or wrong? Tell him. So where do we attain this from? When we give food to our soul through dhikrullah. So Allah's dhikr established in your life, my friends, is a great tonic, a remedy. If you don't do dhikr, then your ruh, your soul won't allow you to practice deen. It will make you an animal, a monkey, and it will take you to the fire of hell. So the real success is bring your children to dhikr, bring them to the gatherings, bring them to the majlis. Even if they don't understand, their ruh will receive and absorb the dhikr of Allah. Don't think the child doesn't understand, the girl, the daughter, the son doesn't understand. The child has a ruh inside him or her, and that child is feeling the impact of dhikr when that child is doing dhikr. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. There's more points that come to my mind, but because I'm looking at the time, the clock, time is short. And I remember the old days, like last year, we used to do this here, isn't it? MashaAllah, time's running out. Then we do a little bit of dhikr so that our ruh can get strong, inshallah. So we should feed our soul with some food now. So let's do dhikrullah now. And inshallah, we'll do the remembrance of Allah. In Ramadan, there are three gatherings in the day we'll have. If you want to strengthen your soul, your ruh, understand what I'm saying? Not by fasting, then go to these three gatherings. Morning, afternoon, evening, we have these three gatherings. Don't run to the bed. Don't run to sleep. You must strengthen your soul in Ramadan. This is Allah's great mercy that dhikrullah Allah has given to us. It's not someone's family's possession. This is Allah's fadl, His grace, Allah's favor on us. We should repay that favor to Allah. In the morning, come to this gathering. Come now after Asr, and in the evening after Taraweeh, in the night. Three gatherings of dhikr. Daily sit in these gatherings and strengthen your ruh, your soul. Recite the ruh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم استعبرنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وأشرنا في زمرته يا كريم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيين صدقين شهداء وصالحين حسنا ربنا عبدنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيان صغيرا وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعليه وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله